What's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast. Welcome back, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving to our American listeners.
Happy Thanksgiving
to everyone else. Well, I'm just going to jump right into today's case. It's a doozy. It is sadly unsolved, and is like a 50 plus year old case or cases.
Okay.
I should say.
All right.
So I'm covering the Templeton Woods murders.
I have no clue anything about this.
So this case is out of Dundee, Scotland. And I feel like someone suggested this a long time ago. And I had like kind of looked into it a little bit and then put it on the back burner for a while. And then I came across it when I was looking for more international cases to cover.
Okay.
Because that's been hugely requested.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and dive right into it. On March 21st, 1979, 18-year-old Carol Lannan was found tied up and nude in the Templeton Woods in Dundee, Scotland. She had been strangled to death.
Oh my God.
Almost exactly a year later, on February 26th, 1980, the partially nude body of 20-year-old Elizabeth McCabe was found less than 150 yards away from where Carol had been discovered.
Jeez.
Elizabeth had also been strangled to death. Now, of course, like most of you are probably wondering, are these murders connected?
Mm-hmm.
So some people think yes, while others argue no, and we'll get more into what police think later on in the investigation, into like in the case. But I do agree that the similarities are a bit uncanny, but let's go ahead and get into the details in the investigation so you can decide for yourself.
Okay.
The first victim, Carol Lannan, grew up in a tumultuous household. She was the youngest of five siblings, and her parents were sometimes unable to care for the children, so they would be temporarily placed in foster care. I think that they call it something different in Scotland, like home care.
Okay.
But I put foster care just so, like, for my own brain.
Yeah, to understand
what I'm talking about. Right. Yeah. Because it was just confusing. I was like, home care? Because I was thinking, like, elderly care, home care?
Right.
That's what I think of. So, anyway.
Yeah.
So, Carol's father, Norman, spent a lot of her childhood locked away in prison. And her mother, Christina, did the best she could to raise Carol and her siblings. Eventually, when Carol was about 9 or 10 years old, her parents separated, and Carol and her siblings lived with their mother. Carol was described as a quiet child who mostly kept to herself, and it seems like she maybe got into a little bit of trouble, but nothing super major. But she did kind of hang out with like a seedier crowd and was kind of part of, you know, a more jaded kind of community, if you will.
Okay.
In 1979, at the age of 18, Carol began dating a young man, and soon they learned that they would be expecting a little boy. So to make ends meet, Carol had allegedly been working as a sex worker for some time, and on the evening of March 20th, 1979, she went out to do just that.
Okay.
Her son, Derek, who was 3 months old at the time, was left in the care of Carol's brother, Mick. And it's unclear whether the child's father was in the picture at this point. It doesn't really sound like he was, but there's kind of differing reports because Carol's family you know, basically denied that she was involved in sex work, that she was in a very happy relationship with her son's father, and that they were planning on getting married.
Okay.
Other reports speak a little bit different kind of scenario. So Carol was picked up from her home on Hill Street and taken by taxi to the city and dropped off near Commercial Street.
Okay.
A witness would later report that they had seen Carol in an area of Dundee known for curb crawling, or where men would go to pick up sex workers. Okay. So it's kind of like the red light district, you know, if you've ever heard that term. And the men know that they can go there to pick up a sex worker.
Right.
So a witness saw her, it would actually be two witnesses by the end of the investigation, that saw Carol get into a red Ford Cortina around 7:30 p.m. The driver was described as a thin man between 25 and 30 years old with short dark hair, short sideburns, and a mustache.
Oh, that just sounds so creepy. Not that mustaches are like always creepy, but I just like little short sideburns and a mustache just sounds so creepy to me.
Yeah. No. Well, I'll share the sketch that they make of him.
Okay.
And it is kind of creepy.
Ugh.
So the police would later create this photo fit, or what we call a sketch here in the U.S., of this man, and they would ask for the public's help in identifying him.
Okay.
The following morning, a couple was out walking, enjoying the snowy scene in Templeton Woods, when they stumbled upon the nude body of a woman.
Oh my God.
I know. I can't imagine that. Just... ugh.
I know, that's coming across a dead body.
Just awful to, yeah. There were no signs of the woman's clothing or her belongings anywhere around. And 11 days later, Carol's handbag and clothes would be found 70 miles away on the banks of the River Don.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So a family had been kayaking in the River Don, which is in Aberdeenshire, which is like obviously a totally different area than Dundee, where she was last seen.
Right. That's a far distance.
Yeah. So this kind of made police wonder if the murderer or murderers had driven 70 miles away to discard of Carol's belongings in hopes of making it impossible to recover. Or did they live in that area and come all the way to Dundee to murder someone?
Hmm.
After Carol's death, police launched a massive manhunt. They asked anyone who had been curb crawling in the area on the day or a few days before the 21st to please come forward. By this point, police had gathered the registrations of pretty much every red vehicle matching the one described by witnesses. But in an attempt to not embarrass these men publicly, they requested instead they come forward for questioning. And it sounds like a lot of people were very helpful and like did come forward and talk to police just to kind of, you know, rule themselves out.
Right. I mean, that's good at least.
Yeah. So officers interviewed all the men with red cars who had been in the area where Carol was last seen. Unfortunately, they did not seem to have any reasonable suspects.
Okay. Sometimes when I don't feel like reading or watching TV, I just want to sit back and play a fun game on my phone. And I recently started playing June's Journey, and when I tell you I'm loving it, that is an understatement. I'm already on the fourth chapter, and I've only been playing for a few days. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game, and I love it because it brings out my inner detective. You play as June Parker in the 1920s trying to solve her sister's murder. It's so much fun to travel the world of the 20s looking for clues that are indicating that June's family has some dark secrets. You also get to create and decorate your own estate island, which I loved because it made me feel really fancy and important. In my last chapter, I discovered a big family secret and there was an unexpected death, but I won't ruin it for you. You can discover your inner detective and play yourself by downloading June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. You can find the link to download June's Journey for free in the show notes of this episode.
The second victim, Elizabeth McCabb, had gone out with some friends on the evening of February 10th, 1980. They went to a few different bars before kind of landing at this nightclub called Teasers, which was located on Union Street in Dundee. One of her friends, Sandra Niven, said as the night was coming to a close, she and Elizabeth had planned to share a taxi home, but before that could happen, they had accidentally gotten separated. So Sandra thought Elizabeth would be waiting for her outside, but when she left the nightclub, Elizabeth was nowhere to be found.
That's so scary. Your friend's just not there.
I know. Like, they were together, and it sounds like maybe one of them went to go get their jacket, like, you know, at the check service or jacket service, and then the other one was, like, waiting, and then they just got separated. So from all accounts, Elizabeth had a very normal childhood. She was the oldest of four children, three girls and one boy, and she was described as being quiet and shy, but very smart and responsible, and she was super close with her family.
Aw.
Her mother, Anne, stated that Elizabeth was not the kind of child you had to worry about, even into her teenage and young adult years. She rarely went out or drank alcohol, and she knew better than to ever take a ride from a stranger. The morning after Elizabeth and Sandra had gone out, Sandra called Elizabeth's house to check on her because, you know, they had just, she couldn't find her. They had parted ways unintentionally, and she ended up just taking a taxi home, and she just assumed Elizabeth had done the same.
Right. And there's not like cell phones where you're like texting each other saying like, did you get home safe? So
I know. Gosh.
Oh, that's, yeah.
We have luxury when it comes to that for sure.
We do. Yeah.
So Elizabeth's mother, Anne, went to check Elizabeth's room, but it was apparent that her bed had not been slept in.
Oh, no.
This next part is so freaking sad, and it kind of goes along with one of the things that we find most annoying in a lot of these cases. Not this type of case specifically, but Elizabeth's mother reported her missing 24 hours later, but it was because she was under the assumption that she had to wait that amount of time.
Oh, that's so frustrating.
I know. Because you hear that. Yeah. I mean, even back then, especially back then, because like everybody was a runaway and everybody was a hitchhiker. Yeah. And, you know, so just like, so that just made my heart break a little bit because I was like,
that's
what you hear.
Sad.
So, yeah, it's completely justifiable that
she waited. Yeah. And then it's so frustrating because like half of the time they will say, no, you can't report before 28 mm-hmm. or 48 hours, and then half the time they will take the report right away.
Yep.
So it's like really frustrating that it's that was the assumption.
Oh. Yeah, because it's probably been ingrained in her brain. But once she did report Elizabeth missing, a search for her ensued, but sadly it yielded no results. 16 days later, on February 26th, which was the day before her 21st birthday.
Oh.
Two men had been hunting rabbits in the Templeton Woods with their dogs when they found something they would describe as a mannequin or a dummy.
Oh, no.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The object in question was covered in branches, and they said that it looked like the branches were intentionally placed. And soon, once they started removing some of the branches, they realized that it was not a mannequin, but the partially nude body of Elizabeth McCabe.
Oh my gosh. And clearly somebody tried to cover it up.
Yeah. Elizabeth's shoes, gloves, and handbag were all missing. Similar to Carol's case, Over the next several weeks, Elizabeth's belongings would be located randomly all over the area. So if you recall, Carol's was located 70 miles away, but Elizabeth's were kind of scattered throughout the area.
Right. So clearly somebody was like trying to get rid of everything right. by just like dumping it.
Yes.
Okay.
So some of her clothing was found located over a wall near a bus stop only a mile from her body. Then her shoes, handbag, and jewelry were located like on some wasteland, which I guess is like their dumping grounds probably for trash. But it was a little bit further away than how close some of the clothing had been found.
Okay.
Inside the handbag was Elizabeth's college ID, so police knew that those items likely belonged to her. At first, police believed the murders of Carol and Elizabeth were connected and they were hunting for the same killer due to several significant similarities between the women. So for starters, both of the women were of similar age. Carol was 18, Elizabeth was 20. Secondly, the women's bodies were found within 150 yards of each other, although their deaths were about 11 months apart.
That's not a coincidence.
I know. I agree.
Unless this is like a place where bodies are dumped all the time, which it doesn't sound like that.
It doesn't sound like. It sounds like somewhere where people go for like nature walks and like, you know, relatively safe area.
Yeah. So there's no reason, or there's no, it's not like, oh, bodies are found here all the time.
Like so, a common dumping ground. Yeah. Right.
That's not a coincidence.
Yeah. Third, Carol and Elizabeth both disappeared on very cold nights and from the center of Dundee. So basically like the city. And lastly, and this one is a big one because I feel like, you know, MOs and things like that, both women had been strangled to death.
Okay. Like, there's no question in my mind that these are connected.
I know. So this ultimately launched the biggest murder investigation Dundee has ever known, even to this day. More than 7,000 people were interviewed over the course of the investigation. Police visited every hotel, bed and breakfast, and boarding house in the city looking for suspects. And they soon came to realize that there was a common factor in both cases. So Carol and Elizabeth both had taken a taxi the night they were abducted and killed. So Carol had taken a taxi from her house to where they worked. And then Elizabeth took, or we think she took a taxi home after the nightclub. So
maybe there was something.
Right.
Like a cab driver or something.
Right. So police carried out interviews with drivers across the city. They interviewed tons and tons of taxi drivers, the owners, and frustratingly, in both cases, the investigation did not yield enough evidence to charge anyone. Additionally, police eventually concluded that they were likely looking for two killers and possibly a copycat killer in the case of Elizabeth's murder.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So with all of the evidence I have presented myself, I just like, I don't, and obviously they're not sharing everything. That's apparent.
Right.
Abundantly clear, even though it's been this long. But just based on the evidence that I've read, it doesn't feel like it's two different people to me.
Yeah, it just, there's too many similarities. And to me, the fact that they were, had like the same job, were similar victims, and then were found so close to each other and were killed but in the same manner.
Yeah.
Like, there's no question that it's connected. And I get the copycat theory, and maybe that's true, but I feel like copycats are less common when it's just one murder.
That's what I was thinking too. I was like, if it was multiple murders, and there were multiple murders in the area during this like 70s, 80s, but the manner of which they were killed was drastically different.
Yeah.
So they didn't link them. I mean, they did try to link them to other cases, you know, over the course of 40, 50 years.
Right.
But yeah, that was my thought too. Like a copycat killer, usually it's a serial killer and then someone tries to copy them, not one death.
Right.
And then a copycat, one death, and then boom, done, you know?
Unless it was somebody else who, like, wanted to kill, so they decided to make it look like this original case just to, like...
That's a good theory.
...try to get away with it.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I could see. Like, it's not necessarily a copycat in the sense that they, like, wanted to do the same thing, but they took advantage of doing the same thing. But it's not like the person ever got caught the first time, so that wouldn't even really make sense, because it's like, it's not like there was somebody in jail or somebody on people's radar that they could try to pin it to. I don't know, it just to me, I think it's the same person, and maybe after the second one they realized, okay, maybe I need to like change up my dumping ground or my MO or what I'm doing, like,
or they were, or something arrested. Happened to them and
they got they got arrested, that or they died thought. Or
so that's a good segue into our next section, because I want to discuss some of the suspects and persons of interest in this case, and there is some wild ones. So
all right,
so the first is, these two murders were, they were trying to, police were trying to link it to the Yorkshire Ripper.
So
if you remember Peter Sutcliffe, terrible, terrible person. I don't think we haven't covered him. You didn't cover him. Yeah. Okay. I think he's on your list though, maybe, to cover. So you guys will hear that in the future, but terrible, horrible, disgusting man. He's not a good guy. And it took him a while to arrest him. But he was suspected of Carol and Elizabeth's murder due to the fact that he was known to be in the area at the time of their deaths, because he was working as a long distance lorry driver.
Okay.
Who, you know, frequented the area.
Yeah.
But they were eventually able to rule him out because of the lack of trauma to their heads, which is something that his victims all had.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even though they weren't like, he wasn't definitively ruled out, investigators believed that it was unlikely he could be the assailant just because of that detail.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. I agree. In 2004, investigators from three police forces in Scotland announced that they were looking into some strong links between the then unsolved murders of five young women known as the World's End murders, which I've never heard of in my entire life.
And I haven't heard of that either.
A case that I think I will cover on the podcast eventually. Just another disgusting slime ball of a person. His name was Angus Sinclair, and he murdered five women between 1977 and 1978, but he was not convicted until 2014.
Wow.
Yeah. So they were able to eventually rule Sinclair out because at the time of both murders, both Elizabeth and Carol's murders, he was in prison.
Okay.
But some people, the sleuths, you know, they think that his brother-in-law, Gordon Hamilton, could be the one responsible. So Hamilton was also convicted in the World's End murders, but by the time they were caught and charged in 2014, he had already passed away.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So he obviously was not able to be questioned, but a lot of people in the sleuthing world think that he could be good for it because his brother-in-law was a serial killer.
Yeah.
He assisted him in some way, shape, or form. And maybe he decided to go off on his own.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, because this happened, the murder of Carol and Elizabeth happened right after the World's End murders.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I could definitely see that. Like, maybe he was like, I want to, you know, my brother's done. I want to go off on my own.
And he was in prison. He was in prison. Right. The brother-in-law, Sinclair, right, was in prison too. So he might have been like, well, I'm just going to give this a go on my own.
Right. And so that's why it was a little bit different.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. So, okay.
As far as that theory, that's about as far as it goes.
Okay.
The next one is the Zodiac Killer.
Oh, okay. I feel like the Zodiac Killer can end up being a suspect in like any case where it's like even potentially a possibility. But
well, this was wild to me because it's Scotland. It's like,
yeah, not
California, yeah, you know. But the reason why he was considered a suspect for these murders, or a person of interest, I guess I should say, was due to a dossier of evidence being brought forward to the Tayside Police Department, who was investigating the murders.
Okay.
So this dossier claimed the Zodiac Killer had fled to Scotland and would have been present in 1979 and 1980 when Carol and Elizabeth were both murdered. But the investigators who were on the case in California quickly debunked that theory. Okay. So that one didn't go anywhere fast either. So another person of interest in the case was a man named Andrew Hunter. So another disgusting, vile person. Hunter was sentenced to life for the murder of his pregnant wife in 1988.
Wow. That's, wow.
Yeah. So Hunter was a former care home worker from Dundee, and police theorize he may have met or known Carol from the times that she went to live in foster care.
Okay.
So kind of a reach, in my opinion, but still they still had that little bit of a connection.
Yeah.
But he was also known to, you know, get the company of sex workers. Right. And he resembled the photo fit of the man seen driving the car that Carol got into the night she died. So
right,
there was a few things that kind of pointed to him. But unfortunately, this son of a bitch died in 1993 from a heart attack after only serving 5 years into his life sentence. So he has never officially been linked to Carol or Elizabeth's case by police.
Okay.
Then in July of 2005, there seemed to be a major breakthrough in Elizabeth's case. So, you know, at this point, police are not really convinced that they're linked. Carol and Elizabeth's cases are connected. So they're kind of investigating them on their own. And police officers brought in and interviewed a former taxi driver named Vincent Simpson. So Simpson had been interviewed during the initial part of the investigation. He had owned a taxi service that was known to frequent the area where Elizabeth was last seen.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, they cleared him. He had an alibi. I don't really know. It doesn't sound like his alibi was very strong, but for whatever reason, they said, all right, good enough. You're free to go.
Okay.
But in 2005, they wanted to talk to him about some good old-fashioned DNA. So investigators had tested DNA evidence that had been gathered from Elizabeth's clothing and hair root in 1980. We love that.
Yes, we freaking love that.
Yes. And they were able to tie it to him by like 1 in 4 million. Like he, oh like gosh, out of 4 million people. So they said that it either had to be his DNA or someone related to him.
Okay.
Okay. Now, remember, this is still only 2005. So DNA has, it's getting better, obviously. But it's not as good as it is today. So there's still issues. There's still problems with it.
Right.
It's not fail-proof. So after a lengthy deliberation, the jury actually found Simpson not guilty.
Oh, my gosh.
So basically, over the course of 30 years, the evidence had been handled, lost, rehandled, okay, mishandled. And his defense team was able to put reasonable doubt into the jury's minds. So,
wow. Okay.
They found him not guilty.
Okay.
After the verdict, police announced they were not looking for anyone else in the case. So they pretty much said he did it. We know he did it. And
he can't be tried again if he's acquitted.
There's nothing else.
Oh, yep, that's so frustrating.
There's nothing else we can do. I know. So Tayside police continued to separately plea for information in connection with Carol's murder in 2008. They made a public statement, you know, asking for the public's help. But as of today, both Carol Lanen and Elizabeth McCabe's cases are unsolved.
Wow. Okay.
In a statement, the Police Scotland said, quote, all cold cases are regularly reviewed in conjunction with the Crown Office and Procurator Fiscal Service. We understand that losing a loved one in any circumstances, particularly where a crime has taken place, is extremely distressing, and we can provide reassurance that any new information which is received will be investigated thoroughly.
Okay. Well, at least they're still on top of it.
Right. If you have any information concerning either of these murders, you can reach the Police Scotland at 101 if you are local. Or it says +44 141 308 1070 if you're calling from outside the UK.
I think like in the US, you know how like sometimes you see like plus before like the one in our area codes? Have you ever seen that? Like if you're filling
I'm
out
sure
a form
I have,
or
but
something,
I, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like that.
Okay, so that's like the area code, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry for
I think 44 is maybe the country code. But
okay,
I could be
that
wrong.
That makes sense. No, that makes perfect sense because it says like +44 and then there's a space and then it has like the actual phone number.
Right.
So that makes sense. So yeah, if you have any information at all about either of these cases, like you can call either of those numbers and yeah. I'll link them in the show notes as well. So thank you guys for listening. Sorry if this episode was rough. We had some connection issues, some Wi-Fi issues, but we did our best.
And
so.
I'd love to hear if you guys think they're connected too.
Yes.
Like, let us know because I don't see any way that they're not connected.
I feel the same way.
And I'd love to hear, especially if anybody does think they're not connected, but also if you think they're connected, I want to hear that too.
Yeah, definitely let us know. We'll post pictures and you know, case information on our Instagram and our Facebook. So make sure you guys are following us over there. It's at Inhuman Podcast on both platforms, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. You can also follow us on TikTok, Inhuman Podcast. We don't post a ton on there, but we do post some things that we don't talk about or share on the podcast. So
yeah,
peep that if you'd like. But that is all I have for you guys today. Again, we hope our American listeners are having a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we hope everybody else is having a wonderful week.
Yeah.
And we'll catch you guys on Monday with a brand new case. And until then, keep it human.
Bye, guys.